Well, blessings. I just want to say to Tom and Kendry, we understand the heart. One of our sons we released and spent 4 years down in Peru in our church plantings down there. And the blessing that we received from that, we've got a beautiful, beautiful Peruvian daughter-in-law. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen to Tom, but I'm just saying what happened to us and the blessing that's been for my wife and I. I mean, it's just a wonderful blessing. But being able to release our children, I remember he called me in the middle. There was a major riot in the city of Tarapoto, and people were getting killed in the streets and the riots and all that that was going on against the government. And Eddie was out in the midst of the crowds praying for people. And America had sent in the military to evacuate any Americans in the area. And once they go in and leave, if you haven't gone with them, too bad. We've had that happen in other places where we had to have people lifted out by the military. And so he calls me from Peru, and he's right in the midst of the crowd. He says, Dad, what do I do? You know what Dad wants to say? Get on that plane and get home. That's what Mom and Dad want to hear. Son, you're safe. They got you. But I said, Son, tell me, what is the Lord speaking to you? And he said, Dad, I just really feel in my heart, I'm to stay. I said, Son, you know the cost. We must count the cost. We've got to count it. You've got to count the cost. He said, Yes, Dad. I said, because if you're in the center of God's will, that's the safest place to be. And that's the thing that we have to remember. And he says, Dad, I really feel I am. So, okay. We hung up the phone and didn't hear from some time. I told him, I said, Son, use wisdom. Don't be foolish. Use wisdom. And bless the Lord, like I say, what we have, churches, and not only our son back, but a wonderful daughter-in-law. Thank you, Jesus. I want to share that what took place just here, and I didn't know this was going to take place. I didn't know the song you were going to sing, the first song. What was that about, awake? Yeah, do you see what I see? But the phrase awake something, awake sleeper, and I'll talk about that in a minute. There are certain churches that are wired differently than other churches. It doesn't make the other churches wrong, but we have to understand certain churches, too much is given, much is required. And sometimes we can be in an environment like this, a church culture like this, and not really understand all that's going on or whatever. We come, etc. But God wants to open every one of our eyes so that every one of us have a reward for what's going on. Because if you give a glass of water to a prophet, when you stand before the Lord, you're going to get a reward you didn't even think you were going to get. You're going to receive a prophet's reward. When you send an apostle, you send somebody out on a mission or whatever, and your prayers and support, or just being a part of the church, the assembly that's a factory that's creating these arrows and shooting them out, you're going to get a reward for that. When you stand before God, you're going to get rewards you don't even realize are coming. And what took place here this morning has to do with what's on my heart and what I want to speak about, because I want to talk about apostolic impartation, the importance of that and what that means. This morning I didn't bring my hard copy Bible, I just brought my phone. I was in another couple places last month, my wife and I, we were in a church. Another church that's a lot like this. Jerome knows the pastor, he's another apostle. I walked down off the platform one day with him and gave him the right hand of a fellowship into the apostleship. Those of us who are older that have walked in for years, God has spoken to us, make sure we get other generations in place and ready to go. And I think we got generations right behind us, and this man's going to be raising up generations behind him. And so God's really been moving that church. It's an Amish country, and he and his wife, Amanda, are out of the Amish community. And if you're familiar with the Amish community, very closed, etc. But there's so many young Amish people are getting saved and filled with the Spirit and coming into that place, and they're being shot out after they're equipped. And I was there that morning and up on the platform like this and began speaking. 10 minutes into the message, there was no storm, there was no reason, whatever. 10 minutes into the message, the complete power went out. And there were windows in the auditorium there where we were speaking in their church sanctuary. And so it was just real dark. And I just stepped down off the platform and I said, I'm okay with this. I said, can you hear me in the back? Yes. And we just kept going on in the word. As if nothing happened. Complete darkness. And boy, the Spirit of the Lord fell. And afterwards, as a matter of fact, Yuri said, hey, can I come through and spend some time with you? So last Monday, he came through. And he says, what do you think God was doing? Because he'd heard a story about down in South America about this preacher, when he'd go into places, the power would always go out. So he'd warned them, the power would probably go out, and it was the anointing of the Lord. I said, well, I don't think that's my anointing. I said, but I'll tell you what the Lord is speaking. And this church is a living example of it. And so I bring a word of affirmation and encouragement to those who walk in what God has called you to do. The Lord began speaking to me several years ago, and I may have said it here before. He said, I want you to go out and begin to awaken my sleeping giant. Who do you suppose that sleeping giant is? The church. The church. And what the Lord was showing me in that sign of the power going out and complete darkness right at a moment. And my notes are up on the platform and my Bible's, I didn't take my Bible. I said, honey, I'm supposed to take my phone for the scriptures, How many of you know I can still see that when it's completely dark?
Yeah.
Let me try it here. Let me get the right pin number. Still not got it. So, I had the scriptures and everything. I wanted to, right here and everything. And just stepped down and began preaching. The Lord said, son, I want to tell you, when I tell you to waken my sleeping giant, that real darkness is coming upon the face of the earth. But my church, who's equipped and prepared, will not skip a beat.
Amen.
They will not fear. Yep. They will shine brighter than ever before.
Amen.
God told me there's a Solomon anointing coming upon his people that are looking to him and watching for him. Now, the Solomon anointing is different because the Solomon, everybody was attracted to him. They started coming to him. And that's the testimony of these places. In churches over the years that are like that, we've seen pastors come in that are wounded, broken, or whatever, and everything else, healed, equipped. We've seen people come in that have a call on their life, but elsewhere it's all about fulfilling their vision, not God's vision in you. And that's different than an apostolic center. I remember it was years ago, my wife and I, very young, in our 20s. And we were raised believers, both of us, but we became disciples of Jesus Christ in 1970. How many know the difference? You hear me say it over and over again. Churches are full of believers, but not disciples. All disciples are believers, but all believers are not disciples. Even the demons believe, but they're not disciples. So, all of a sudden, we become disciples of Jesus Christ in 1972, got filled with the Spirit and everything, and we got kicked out of the Baptist church. I'll just make it short.
This used to be a Baptist church. Welcome back.
Thank you. I knew there was a reason. I felt at home. My wife and I we were youth leaders and everything, and I was leading evangelism. Every Thursday night, we'd go out knocking on doors, leading people to the Lord, all this type of stuff. And now we got kicked out because it didn't line up with their doctrine. So, in all of that, getting kicked out and everything like that, God spoke to us, I want you to begin to plant a church right there in your home. 1972. And so we did. That's been 50 years ago. But the Lord told me something, and Jerome and I were talking about this. He told me not to read any books on church planting because the Baptists had a few out. But he told me to go into the Word and go to the book of Acts and do it exactly like they did there. And when I got in studying, scouring the scriptures and looking in the book of Acts, I became so disappointed because I couldn't see a church out there anywhere that looked like what was in the Bible. Why not? Why not? What do we need to do? What do we need to change? And so I said, Lord, okay, we'll begin doing it just like they did it in the Bible. And all of a sudden, 50 years later, we see it still works. It still works. God's way works. So I want to, I'm so appreciative when I see a church that carries that apostolic anointing, and we're going to get into that in just a little bit. Story. There were three men on a construction site chiseling stone. A passerby is going by, and he's kind of curious of what's going on here, and so he goes up to the first man chiseling stone and says, what are you doing? And a man looks up and says, I'm chiseling stone. I mean, what's wrong with you? Can't you see what I'm doing? Still curious, he asks the second man, what are you doing? And he looks up and says, I'm making a living. Still curious, he goes to the third man. He says, what are you doing? He looked up at him with a smile on his face and said, I'm building a cathedral. The first group are just doing what they're doing. Second group, eking out a life. But the third group has a vision for the purpose of God and what he wants to do. What group are you in? The church, from the day that God began to work in me, the church became a primary burden of my heart. The vision. The church, as you all know, because I know you've been preached to, I'm speaking not, you know, to somebody who doesn't know, but to people who hear the word all the time. The church, as you know, is not this building, but it's a group of people in here. And God came for a people called his church. And we need to understand that the church is the apple of his eye. You here this morning are the apple of his eye. I don't care what you're going through, what you're facing, etc. Like we sang this morning, you are the apple of his eye. You are the one he cares about. And we need to rise up and see that because we are the light that God is equipping right now to shine in the midst of gross darkness that's coming on the face of the earth. How many have seen an increase of wickedness? And if you travel the world, it's global. It's not just here. It's global. But praise God. Turn to somebody and say, praise God. Praise God, we're the answer. You say, well, Jesus is the answer. Yes, he is. But Jesus isn't just a head without a body. And so us understanding the church and what God is doing, you know, we use different analogies in the Bible for the church. One of them is temple. He refers to these people as the temple of God. What does that mean? That in the midst of us individually and collectively, the corporiety that's here, because the more we gather together, the greater that presence is manifested. The presence of God lives within each and every one of these temples and the corporate temple that is here. There's an individual anointing that comes on a person, but there's a corporate anointing that comes on a group as well. The presence of God is so important. Matter of fact, Moses says, well, if your presence doesn't go with us, how will the people know where you're? We're yours. And when you study that in the Hebrew mindset and look at that verse in the Hebrew mindset, it literally means like this. Unless your many manifestations go before us, how will they know that we're yours? I hear people, I thank God, 45 years ago, I gave my heart to Jesus. And that's wonderful. But what's today's testimony? What's today's miracle? What is God doing in your life today that's alive? It's like the older couple out for a drive in a car. They have a terrible accident. The first responders come. The wife shouts out to them, is he alive? Is he alive? The first responder, the medic, doesn't say, well, let me check his birth certificate. And the church is putting too much weight on the birth certificate rather than the vital signs. And God wants us to pay attention to the vital signs. And when I'm here and I go through several churches and stuff like that, I check the vital signs. And believe me, they're strong here. I praise God for that. And I'm not saying that because I don't flatter anybody. That's true. I think I'll take a drink on that one. The temple. But another analogy he uses as a body, and I'm going to come back to that one. Jesus has a body. It's a many-membered body. And while that we are brought in as individuals, yet we are a part of that body, and it's important that we understand what part of that body we are. And I'll explain why in a little bit. But we're also referred to as his army. And And Paul, speaking to Timothy, talks about a soldier, and he says, they're not entangled in the affairs of this world. Let me ask you a question. How entangled are you? We need to start getting unentangled. Can I get an amen or an oh me or something? There's freedom in simplicity. Dear old gentleman, another apostle that my wife and I were close to, he and his wife, and would help us a lot of times, giving us wise counsel and everything years ago. Matter of fact, had a whole network of churches, gospel outreach churches, and they were very strong in Guatemala. Matter of fact, one of their churches, one of their elders became president of Guatemala, and he brought him over, and we were praying over him, Ephraim Rios Mount. And, you know, just a powerful testimony. And he said this to me. He was a very wise man, and I was younger then. He said, Ron, I want to tell you something. Keep your contentment level low. He says, because your ability to serve the Lord will be based on and is proportional to your contentment level. The more stuff you have, the harder it is to serve Him. Can I get an amen to that one? Hear what I'm saying. Because if I speak to you not only as the temple of God, but as the army of God, we've got to get unentangled in the world to have an impact on the world. And the other thing we have to do as a good soldier is learn how to endure hardness. Oh, you know what? God will give us opportunities. How many were planning on COVID? No. And you know what God taught us? That in the changing face of the church, we put all of our trust in plans. We got 5-year plans, 3-year plans, everything else. But he says, I'm doing a shift. It's not going to be about plans. It's going to be about preparation, a shift from planning to preparing. Because if you're prepared for anything, your plans might go out the window, but you're going to stand strong in God. Because you're prepared for it. And so God will allow things. Imagine if the devil can throw something out there in the ethos or out there in the world or whatever, whatever disease it is, to stop people from living life. Church, we've got to carry a different message. It's a message of hope. And God's placed that within inside of us. So as you know, this army, we've got to understand. But the final thing, the analogy that I love that God uses, and we used it this last couple days as we were at a marriage retreat, is the body or the church is also His bride. Jesus loves His bride. And He's coming back for her, and she will be radiant and ready. I just love the sanctified genius of the Lord, how all these analogies and everything He brings out to help us understand who we are. I've said it before. Chris Romano, I'm sure, said it here before. He was one of my students. 94% of people live and die and never know their purpose. And I say that's the greatest identity theft out there. It's a shame because that's a life that has never achieved what it was created for. And we don't want that. So I said, you know, God's saying, awaken my church. And that's the anointing, awaken my sleeping giant. And that's the anointing that I sense in this place here. As a matter of fact, I want to go to Isaiah chapter 60. And I'll read verses 1-5. We're all familiar, or most of us familiar with it, etc. But it's a now word in the midst of fear, in the midst of hopelessness, in the midst of what's going to happen next. We can be prepared, but we may not have all of our plans work out the way we thought they were going to work out. Weddings were canceled. I have one of my dear, walked with a certain team of guys for 48 years. We still hold each other accountable. We're all up in our 70s. And his son died. He couldn't even go to have a funeral. Couldn't see him. Certainly didn't plan on that. Isaiah 60, arise and shine. Turn to somebody and say, arise and shine. You know, we got to get over this Eeyore mentality that's in the church. I work with a lot of leaders and deal with a lot of leaders in our city. We start out meeting with 5 of us, and now we've got about 200 and a meeting that we're working and walking with, influencing. It's an exciting thing, but sometimes, you know, guys, come on, shake it off. I hear so many pastors, I think I'm going to quit. Are you called? If you're called, you better not. If you're not called, by all means, start doing what God's called you to do. If he's called you to be a banker, stop trying to be a pastor. Amen? And so we just talk and everything like that. But God is preparing us for something, and so we need to rise and shine. Your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. That's a promise. Now, we have a lot of verses that are not our refrigerator door verses. Like those who wish godly shall suffer persecution. That's not on our mirror in our bathroom or on our refrigerator door. Through much tribulation, you will enter the kingdom of God. That's not there. That's not there. But it's a promise. Yeah. We've got to see the both ands of God, not just the either ors. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. Some focus purely on the goodness of God. And that can lead to error, because if you focus just on one side, it can leave you imbalanced. Others focus just on the severity of God. Oh, goodness, I'm just a worm. I'll never rise up. I'm just so unholy. I'm just, you know, you're all sinners. You need to all die. You know, God, you know, we got to get over that. Oh. He goes on to say, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you. Turn to somebody and say, I see the Lord arising over you. And his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light. The Solomon anointing. God's going to bring people to us, because when you're drowning, anything that's afloat, you're going to grab a hold of. But if we look like we're sinking, and we're the Eeyores out there in the world. Hello. Oh, what a beautiful morning. You know? Let's shake it off. And that's what I appreciate about what I see when I come here. Lift up your eyes all around and see, verse 4, they all gather together, they shall come to you, your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant. What kind of bride is Jesus coming for? A radiant bride. And you shall become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for who we are. Now, I want you to turn with me, we're talking about apostolic impartation this morning, to the book of Romans. And I'm going to read, starting in the book of Romans, because what is so important to the church that we lost for years, we began thinking we knew better than God, that we didn't have to do it like he said it in his word, because that book, the Bible, is the constitution of the kingdom of God. Every kingdom has a constitution or covenant by which it lives by and orders that culture, if you will, or society. Now, I tell people this all the time, and people, whoa, what are you saying? I'm saying morality is, we know it because when a society determines what is moral, that does not... We can legislate morality, but you cannot legislate righteousness. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so society can say what's right and what's not right. But does it line up with the Word of God? What are we going to live by? So God said, seek first my kingdom and his righteousness. His kingdom and his righteousness. And so we've got to see that God is beginning to move. And so the church for years began to think, well, we'll do it our way. You know, I'm going to say something here that might turn a few heads, but I can support it biblically, and I know your leadership team is with me on this. Nowhere in the Bible does it say a church is led by a pastor. Say, oh, me or oh, my, or hello, or something. Yeah, nowhere. Nowhere. Every time, every church, they set elders in every church. Why? And this wasn't a board of elders that somebody elected. These are those who have been ordained before the foundation of the world and called by the Holy Spirit to serve God. It's not our best friends. It's those called by the Holy Spirit. Why? Why? What's the sanctified genius in that God? How many of you know it's harder to deceive a group than it is one? Amen. And the body of Christ is better taken care of. So looking at God's way, when did we decide to do it our way and begin to move like that? The other thing that they did, they began to sing what ministries were now in operation in the church. And I shared, there's a little bit of overlay from what I was here last time, because last time I knew this man was called as an apostle, and I'm not trying to glorify a man or anything. We all know that. But God's called me to come alongside of and give the right hand of fellowship, because we've got to see the ministry of Jesus Christ restored to the church. Or it will not be prepared for what is to come. And so, gave him the right hand of fellowship, acknowledge him in his apostolic. Now, he's also evangelist and a pastor. I see those in him as well. But in doing that, why? Why did all of a sudden the church begin saying, well, they're no longer apostles and prophets? Because the devil knew what he needed to do to make the church dysfunctional. Why? Why the apostles and prophets? Because Ephesians 4:11 says they're all given until we come into the unity of the faith, the full stature of the Son of God. Are we there then? Are you there? No, we're not there, even those of us who preach it. Until we come there. So if they aren't for today, then pastors, evangelists, and teachers aren't for today either. But why did the devil do that? I shared a little bit last time on that. Because those are the revelational ministries. And the devil is not a creator. He's an imitator. All he can do is imitate what God has done. And so in Isaiah 29, when God wanted to deal with Israel, sent the Assyrians, etc., what he said, I'm going to cause a deep sleep to come upon your prophets, and I'm going to cover the eyes of your seers. I'm going to shut off revelation. So what the devil did, knowing those two ministries were the revelational ministries of the church, said, they're no longer for today. And in a sense, what he was doing was covering the eyes and cutting off the source of revelation to the body of Christ so that it wouldn't be equipped. No more. We're wise to your schemes, Satan. We're wise. No more. We're going to do it God's way. And so that's what's taking place today. And that's why even what happened here today, and it's happened here many other times, it's so important. So Romans chapter 1, I want to begin reading. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Boy, right there's a whole lot. Right there's a whole lot. Paul, first of all, you know, back in 1972, we were considered a cult. We were the offscouring of the world. We were called. We didn't put titles on ourselves as apostles, but we knew we were called as apostles. It was a function, not a title. Today, we love titles. It gives us a false sense of security. Well, they won't respect me if I don't have a title. If it's your title they respect, they don't respect you. They don't respect the anointing of God in you. And so Paul, isn't clumsy Paul called to be an apostle? Why not say, this is Apostle Paul? Because it was his calling. And that's what he was. And he also says, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. And I don't want to be, what should I say? Let me extend grace. Because I don't want to be the apostle, please. But in Revelation chapter 2, he praises the church at Ephesus for testing those who said they were apostles and were not, so that we're not deceived. And so those who are called of the Lord, I want to talk about that apostolic anointing just for a minute. Those who are called of the Lord recognize they are bondservants. My life is very simple. Anybody sees, if you see any good in me, it's the grace of God. Anything you see good come out of me, if it's this morning or any time, I'll just tell you right now, it's the grace of God. Anything bad you see me, I take full ownership of. How many are willing to take that simple road? Amen. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it simple. Because there's such freedom in simplicity, and we make it so difficult. And so many people want all the titles, and they're genuine apostles and other ministries out there that have the titles and everything like that, and they do that for an act of respect, and some are dear friends and brothers. But as for me, I'm a bondservant of the Lord, called to be an apostle. Paul goes on to say there, verse 2, or verse 1, finish it, separated to the gospel of God. And that's one thing that's really been beautiful, because God has restored his full gospel. How many have ever heard the term full gospel? Now, you're raising up in the Pentecostal church. What did that mean? It meant you got baptized in spirit. You're not just born again, but you've been baptized in spirit. You've had that second experience. Well, that's not the full gospel. The full gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. It's the hope of the kingdom. We carry the kingdom of God into any environment that you're in, and you are submitting to the will of God and manifesting that before a person, they are seeing the kingdom of God at hand. Right there, right now. Thank you, Jesus. Now, so this apostolic anointing, it's like I shared here before, but those who are called with this apostolic anointing, there's deep within them this yearning, this apostolic yearning to be poured out over the earth for the cause of the king and his kingdom. There's nothing of self-interest in that at all. It's all for the king and his kingdom. But you know what they're to equip you for? The same thing. Are you willing to be poured out for the cause of the king and his kingdom? That's the question. Another thing. Paul said, my little children, of who I am in travail. I have these childbirth pains inside of me until they're conformed to the image of Christ, the church. Let's read on here. Verse 2. Which he promised before through the prophets in his holy scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Don't ever call yourself a sinner. Once you have been born of the Spirit, he doesn't call you a sinner. He calls you a saint. The importance of the revelation of that. Oh, yes, we sin. We miss the mark and we repent. But when he looks at us, because we're born into his family, he doesn't see a sinner, he sees a saint. And that word saint, hagios, just literally means one that's separated for his use. Sinners are out there. They're those who don't care about doing what is right. They don't repent. They relish in their darkness. But when he calls you a saint, he's saying, look, understand your identity. Understand how I see you. You are now set apart for me, my cause, my purpose. What I created you for before the foundation of the world. Because no other creature has been created in my image. Turn to somebody and say, you're a saint. We've got to get that revelation in the hearts of people, because as long as we keep thinking, well, I'm just a sinner, we'll keep sinning and doing it without repenting. But God has something so much greater for all of us. Right now, when you look in that mirror, I hope you start seeing a saint. Oh, we haven't arrived. But God looks on those things that are not. He looks on those things that are not as though they are. Thank you, Jesus. He sees what the blood has covered. So we look at this, and we continue reading, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I have made mention of you always in my prayers. Paul's always praying for them, making requests by some, if by means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. Now, why did he want to come to them? I'm going to share it in verse 11. Listen to this. For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts so that you may be established. Church, here's a very important revelation. Paul wanted to come to them, a church he didn't plant, but apostles not only plant churches, they water churches. They go through churches, etc., and they strengthen and establish the church. They come alongside the ministries there and impart and do whatever, and that's what he and others are doing. So what's he saying? I want to impart to you. What was the purpose of that, that impartation? So that you would be established to the end. What did he want to impart? What did he want to impart? Verse 11. Can I hear it? Thank you. Spiritual gift. He wanted to impart some spiritual gift that they might be established to the end. And so he says, that is that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. What's he saying? That gift that's in you, that grace of God, releasing the grace of God, understanding the grace of God in a person, that grace that's in you, I will be mutually encouraged by, and you will be encouraged by the grace of God that's in me towards you. Where am I going with all of this? I shared here before that in 2019, God works me in a decadal way, meaning every decade, he gives me a frontline revelation. And I could go back all the way up through the 70s, 80s, et cetera, even where he began to prepare us to get into communist countries. But in 1999, he told me, I want you to read the first two chapters and the last two chapters of the Bible 7 times a day for 7 days. That changed my theology. Why? The first two chapters deal with the seed of his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven in perfection. No sin. The last two chapters, Revelation 21 and 22, deal with the consummation of his kingdom of God here on earth, no sin. Do you know your place eternally is not up there in heaven? Are you aware of that? Because a lot of Christians aren't. Your place is here on earth, ruling and reigning. He didn't change his mind from Genesis 1 and 2. He's just going to make it work. That's the thing. So in doing that, God said, I'm going to restore the gospel of my kingdom. The gospel of salvation is only partial in the way people understand it. So I'm going to restore the gospel. In 2009, as I was studying, as we go into 2010, he says, what year is it, 2009, what year going into 2010? He said to me, what's the tithe of this millennium? And I said, the year 2100. That 100 would be a tithe of 1,000. He said, what year going into 2010? He says, what is that? And right away, a light bulb came on. That's the tithe of the tithe. That's the priestly portion. He said, I'm going to start releasing revelation of the priesthood of every believer, and it's going to move from doctrine to reality. A priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. In 2019, I've said it here before, he began to speak to me, as you go into 2020, I want you to begin to tell the church you're going into an accelerated time of preparation. Little did I know what would come in 2020. The church had a lot of plans, but they were not prepared. So, I want to share with you the why. Why this is all so important. Why we need all the ministries and everything. Because he shared with me there are four things that are necessary, four factors within a church to have this people prepared. Number one, Holy Spirit. I'm not going to preach on them. I'll come back to that one a little bit. Number two is the Word of God. The Word of God is given to prepare us. 2 Timothy 3:17. Number three, the fivefold ministry. Can I be prepared without the fivefold ministry? God didn't tell me I could. So you go figure. You wrestle with that one. I'm just going to do it. And number four, that's where I want you to go with me, Ephesians 4:16. And we're going to be ending up in this area right here. This is the why it's so important. This is why you are so important here. That you're not just occupying a seat. That God has you here for a purpose. Ephesians 4:16. He talks about, and this is my dream. This is what I see. This is the revelation I have. This is the vision. I see the vision. I see a cathedral. It's the temple of God. It's built up. It's mature. I see it as the army of God marching throughout the land, bringing the kingdom of God wherever it goes. I see the body of Christ fully functioning. Every member knows who they are. Are you a hand? Are you a finger? Are you a toe? Are you a mouth? Are you an ear? And then I see the bride of Christ, radiant, glorious, prepared, and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ for his bride. That's what I see. I have hope. I'm full of hope. And so Ephesians 4:16, how are we going to, in the end, we've got the Holy Spirit, because if you're not born of the Spirit, you can't even see the kingdom or enter it. We've got the Word of God equipping us. We've got the fivefold ministry preparing us, equipping us. Equipping us for what? Perilous times. The work of the ministry and warfare. Amen. Amen. So we look at this and we come to Ephesians 4:16. What is going to bring all this to pass? It's going to be a body that is fully equipped by the fivefold ministry, by the Holy Spirit, and by the Word of God. I see churches leaving the Holy Spirit who were birthed in the Holy Spirit. I see churches leaving the Word of God who were birthed in the Word of God because they want to be respected in the community. Right. But I want to tell you what, an unhealthy desire for respect will quench the anointing of God. And we will not give in to that. We refuse to give in to that. We're going to be who God called us to be and not give in to it. So Ephesians 4:16, according to the body building itself up in love. Turn to somebody and say, you're part of the body. The body, you building yourself up in love. That's why we say in the church over again, I said this over the last day or two, and I was saying in our family, in our church families, la familia es todo. La familia es todo. La familia es todo. The family is everything. The family is everything. And like we have, my wife and I, of course, brought that into our family. As a family, we may not have it all together, but together we have it all. Brothers and sisters, building ourselves up in love must be the first point. According to what? According to the effectual working of every member. Is your working effectual? Is your working at all? Do you know what your working is? He not only chose us in him before the foundation of the world, he gave us what we were called to be. And so Paul makes another statement, radical statement. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, and then I'll just quote some others. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. My heart is so passionate about this because I believe the revelational ministries are crying out to the body of Christ, we've got to get ready. We can't do business like we used to. This isn't about coming here and being blessed. Oh, bless me, God, bless me, God, bless me, God. This is about coming here and being equipped and getting out in the battle. We're gladiators for Jesus, every one of us. It's like I said time and time again, the darker get, if it's dark outside, anybody with a flashlight is a leader. You can be the runt of the litter, but if you got the light, you're the leader. That's the truth. Stop thinking of ourselves as the devil wants us to think of ourselves. Oh, woe is you, you're just a little sinner. No, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are a saint. We need to rise up and live in that purity that he's called us to. Glory to God, I love you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'll get there. We'll try to get done here real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. Paul, speaking to the church at Corinth, and understand this, the church at Corinth gets a lot of bum reviews by illiterate Christians. Because we know that they were operating in the gifts. In chapter 12, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant of the spiritual gifts or the supernatural. I want you to understand it, because if you don't understand the supernatural, how are you going to be intimate with God? Tell me, how do we get intimate with him if we're not willing to learn the supernatural? If we're not willing to understand that we've been born of the Spirit? And just like we have five natural senses, taste, touch, smell, hearing, seeing, we have those same five spiritual senses to connect into the realm of the supernatural. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Touch, reach out and touch the Lord. Blessed are your eyes for they see. Blessed are your ears for they hear. Sense of smell is discernment. But that's got to grow and be mature just like the other. So we look at this. This cry, Paul's speaking to the church at Corinth. It wasn't that they were inexperienced with the gifts. The gifts were flowing mightily in their midst, but they didn't know how to use them maturely. And so he's going to help them understand it, not stop it. Can I get an amen? Amen. Why? Now, listen to what he says in chapter 1. As a matter of fact, I'll say it before I get there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, he says, covet the gifts. Hello. If God says covet it, are you being sinful if you covet the gifts? It's just covet the understanding of what he's called you. A 4'2" man can dream about being a center on the Lakers. Except a real miracle, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. He needs an adjustment. So, verse 7. And some of us in the body need an adjustment, but that's why we're here. As leaders, that's why we're here. We serve you. Verse 7. So that you come short in no gift, eagerly, say eagerly, waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that you come behind in what? No gift. Until we see the effectual working of every member in the body of Christ, we've got to move to the next level of equipping in the body of Christ. We've got to know what every member is. In chapter 12, Paul refers to the spiritual gift as member. He used them interchangeably. So, if my hand is a spiritual gift, he also refers to that to the hand in the body of Christ. So when you see me, oh, you're the hand. You're the hand. And he says those gifts that seem to be less honorable, he bestows more abundant honor on them. We've got some work to do, church. But unless we got you behind us, we can't do it. We can't make anybody do anything. But we need the church in cooperation. In warfare, I served in the military. And let me tell you this. You don't argue with the chain of command. I know one man that tried it one time. He might have shared his story in this church. First thing they tell you when you go in there is a young person or whatever, we own you. Not just the clothes on you, we own you. You try going against the command, even if you disagree with them or don't think they're smart. Church, we're not ready for what's coming. We're not ready. Our kids won't be ready. Our grandchildren won't be ready. Who are those that'll stand up and say, I'm going to go for it? If that's you, stand up this morning. Stand up this morning. I'm so grateful for this assembly of believers and the importance of understanding that the church is an assembly of those called out of the world. An assembly, and understanding that is very important. I did a message one time where I had a bunch of bicycle parts on the stage, the platform behind me. And I said, there's all the parts that are necessary, but that's useless. We can have all the parts here necessary, but it's useless. It's got to be assembled. So I had a gentleman assembling as I was preaching the message, and he would assemble it discombobulated and all this type of stuff, and it wouldn't work. Finally, he got it assembled in the way that it would be. And I said, I want one of you to represent the Lord. Get on that bike and ride around the sanctuary. And they did. Now God could use it. When's the body going to be in a place where God can really use us, unleash the full potential that's in our midst? You're it. You got to believe it. If you don't believe it, there's nothing I can make you believe, nothing any of the leaders here can make you believe. You've got to accept what the Word of God says. You got to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You got to rise up and become what God has called you to be. And what I'm so blessed by, every time I come here, I see that Spirit here. But I don't see it everywhere out there. So you guys need to be a light to the other churches and the community as you are. If you want to impress somebody, you can do that from a distance. But if you want to influence them, you got to be willing to get close. You got to be willing to be vulnerable. Lord, right now, I just cry out in the name of Jesus. You're calling the assemblies, Lord, that are getting the revelation, the tip of the spear, the cadre, the small number that's prepared for a special purpose, for breakthrough for the rest to follow. So, Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. All these standing here, Lord, that as we move forward, they will surrender to understand who they are in you. That everyone will know what part of the body they are. And Lord, that they'll rise up and be all that you've called them to be. I thank you for this people. I thank you for your church right here in this area as a beacon and a light. I thank you for the apostolic impartation that's here. I thank you for the prophetic impartation. I thank you for the evangelists, pastors, and teachers, all the ministries. I thank you for all the ministers of helps and service and all the other mercy and all the gifts, Lord. We just thank you. Draw them out and let them be manifest in full glory, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you all dearly. God bless you.